Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Thanks for listening to Morning Edition this morning on WILL AM 580 and FM 90.9 HD2 and HD3. It's time now for the pre-opening commodity market reports, and here's Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jay, and good Friday morning, everyone. The Labor Department today says that employers eliminated 598,000 jobs in January, the most since the end of 1974, and catapulted the unemployment rate to 7.6%. The highest since September of 1992. The latest net total of job losses was far worse than the 524,000 that economists expected. All told, the economy lost 3.6 million jobs since the start of the recession in December of 2007, and about one half of the decline occurred in the past 3 months. Bunge Limited reported a fourth quarter net loss of $210 million due in part to slumping demand and foreign exchange losses from the company's Brazilian operations. The company's net loss of $210 million is $1.82 a share compared with year earlier net income of $245 million or $1.82 a share. Analysts had expected a net loss of just 29 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 81.93. It's up 130 points. The NASDAQ, 1571, and it's up 25. And the S&P 500 is at 858, and it's up 12 and one half points.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Joining us now with a look at the weekend agricultural weather is AM 580's Mike Sola. Good morning, Mike.
Well, good morning, Dave. And first off, Argentina did see some decent rainfall. About two-thirds of the summer grain, oilseed, and cotton production areas picked up rain yesterday and early today. Satellite estimates put the rainfall in the 2 to 3 inch category, with some areas possibly picking up as much as 4 inches. Actual observations and reported totals through midnight ranged from 1 to 2 inches from west central Entre Rios into central Santa Fe, while more than 3 inches of rain occurred in the northern cotton areas of Argentina. They're going to have to squeeze out as much rainfall over the next several days as possible, because warming is expected to evolve late this weekend and into early next week, restoring a more normal range of temperatures in the 80s and lower 90s, and few extremes may reach 100 degrees over the area. The bottom line remains unchanged, with crop moisture stress slowly returning to the southern areas around mid-month, but those areas that receive significant rainfall this week will continue to see improved crop development for at least the next several days. And the computer models do seem to indicate that northern sections will continue to be the favored area for precipitation. Storm rolling off into the Atlantic will keep some moisture streaming up across northeastern Argentina and through the southern portions of Brazil. And in Brazil, rain developed from Mato Grosso into Goiás and eastern São Paulo into southern Minas Gerais. A few showers did reach into Rio Grande do Sul this morning. Coverage of the rain through midnight was not more than 35 to 40%, and rain totals varied from anywhere from a few hundredths of an inch to just over three-quarters of an inch. Wetter weather is coming to the area over the next 10 days in the interior south central and some central western crop areas. Frequent rain in those areas might lead to local flooding, especially with some center-south areas already saturated from the previous heavy rainfall. Rio Grande do Sul will get some improvement in important rainfall today, and it may trend drier for a while, especially in the southern crop areas of the state. If any southern areas do get too dry, it's likely to be in the Rio Grande do Sul area, and that should be closely monitored. Another area I haven't really given too much talk about was China and concern about drying. The dry situation in eastern China will be heightened by much warmer conditions over the next week. Unusually warm temperatures could evolve for a couple of days during the early to middle portion of next week. That will accelerate the evaporation and create more aggressive drying, and the concern over drought will likely be enhanced by the weather change. The transition from warm to cool weather is expected next week, and that will offer the first chance for some rainfall, greater rainfall to portions of the dry region in eastern China. But confidence in a general soaking is quite low. Some light rain and snow may fall as colder air starts to overtake the nation during the latter portion of next week and into the following weekend. As far as the U.S. goes, much milder temperatures are starting to spread across the Midwest, and melting snow and significant rainfall will increase flood potential in the Midwest during the next week. Doesn't look like any heavy rain is expected this weekend, but early next week, a pretty significant storm will move out of the southern plains and into the Midwest, and that could bring some heavy rainfall. And eastern Corn Belt areas will be most susceptible due to the extensive snowpack and the widespread rain that is expected for Tuesday through Thursday of next week. Most of the flooding should not seriously impact agriculture, but some low-lying wheat fields may be vulnerable to damage. That's a look at the growing area weather. Enjoy your weekend. I'm Mike Sola.
In the Thursday overnight trading session, Kansas City March wheat opened at 590 and a quarter, up a quarter. Last trade up 6.5 at the Board of Trade. March wheat opened at 562, up a quarter. Last trade up 6.25. July 589, up 2.75. Last trade up 6. March corn opened at 370.75, down a half. Last trade up 4.25. July 391, down a half. Last trade up 4.5. December 414.75, down a half. Last trade up 3.25. March beans opened at 979, down 1. Last trade up 16.5. July 986, down 1.25. Last trade up 17. November 913.75, down 3/4. Last trade up 15. March soybean meal opened at 308 unchanged. Last trade up 580. March soybean oil opened at 33.12, up 7. Last trade up 33. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group, and she is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Jackie.
Well, good morning, Dave.
Well, the market has thrown just about everything but the kitchen sink at corn and beans this week, and we did have this break to the downside during the beginning of the week. We're now seeing today, overnight, prices beginning to rally again, and I'm wondering if we have now established to the downside some pivot points for a potential rally into the next few weeks.
Well, I think you've hit it right on the head, especially it wouldn't be unusual for us to go back down, but if we go back down and we test these 09 lows that we just put in this week, I think we bounce off of those, we're in good shape. When you talk about them throwing everything at the market, they certainly have thrown everything. And when you look at the big picture, there's arguments building both on the bull and the bear side. We just had the jobless rate thing this morning. Unemployment at 7.6, that's certainly not a positive. You look at the Baltic freight rates, up 13 sessions, 40% alone this week, which just means that we're starting to move freight on the ocean. And yet we know they've got a lot of new ships, and they've got concerns about, ship owners' finances. There's now China drought starting to come out into the news. There's Australia drought coming out. Argentina got some rain, but the drought continues to go on. Brazil came out this morning looking to lower their crop number for the third time. And I think the overall umbrella that's above everything is the stimulus package. What's going to happen with that? And so you talk about throwing the kitchen sink, bathwater with the baby, I guess. it's all there. So there's a lot of things going on. And if we can come through today on this jobless number and not see extreme downs, then I believe that we're starting to build an argument that There's been so much negativity thrown at the market already that people are beginning to be less fearful. But that can change quickly.
Is March futures now going to soften against the next contract over the next five sessions?
Well, I think the potential is certainly there. One of the things that concerns me is that for the report on Tuesday, you know, they're only looking at about a 33 million bushel change on the carryout, and I do think that could be higher than that. We may see on this report, USDA is conservative. We may see on this report that they do cut more ethanol usage and more feed usage yet, and so we could certainly test this in the next 5 days.
Probably the exports alone because of the last 3 weeks, though?
Well, I certainly think that's very supportive. You know, when you look at the export numbers, it certainly says to us that Japan is starting to have a much better credit situation. We saw Egypt come in. We're just starting to see more things. So I think that, you know, the trade is really in a quandary. When you look at open interest and you look at open interest down on a down day, then up on a down day, mm-hmm. then, you know, it's there's still a lot of day trading going on within the market itself. In other words, a very undecided market.
Thank you very much, Jackie.
You're welcome.
Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group. She's in Champaign, Illinois. You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD2 and HD3 Urbana.